seen anything like that.
I'm a very confident front runner for Caddy for 33 years, 145 wins now, and that's the best win I've ever had.
I have no idea what you have.
I don't know. How are we going to count all the shots? I can't keep track.
Fuck! God damn it.
I don't think he's pleased.
Of course you would. That's a particularly stupid question. It's the Irish Open. Of course you want to play at the weekend.
Hello, Golf Weekly friends. So, it's happening tomorrow. It's Tiger versus Phil. We could not be more excited. We have Fionn Davenport here in studio. Hello, Fionn.
Hey, Joe.
In studio, I said.
In studio.
What a treat.
No Skype delays.
No Skype.
Better looking in real life.
I
Sometimes
flew over.
The light just doesn't suit you.
This is no word of a lie. I was meant... I'm doing something in Carrickmacross tomorrow.
Okay.
So... I was scheduled to come in tonight.
Very secretive about it.
Yeah. No.
Just tell us what you're doing.
I'm doing a thing for an RTE show that's going to air next
Don't
year.
Don't you curse at us.
Sorry. And
outrageous.
So
they're not going crazy and paying you and stuff like that, are they?
Yeah. I'm doing this thing in Carrickmacross. And so I was meant to come in tonight. And when we were on the show last week on Skype, and I go, jeez, it's next Thursday. So I had them change the flight so I came in this morning so I could record this.
What a dedication,
privilege. Yeah.
What are you doing for RT?
I don't actually know the name of the programme.
Is it about Brexit?
No. It's one of these helping businesses improve themselves shows.
And are you helping a hotel or something?
No, I'm helping a brewery.
Right.
Yes. Oh, God, I don't know.
You're not allowed to say anything.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say anything. But anyway, basically, it's a business that wants to grow its tourism numbers.
So they want to do tours of the brewery.
Yes. So
you need to help them organise a piss up in a brewery.
Kind of. Which is ironic, given as a person who doesn't imbibe.
And is this going to be part of a series of businesses being helped?
Yeah.
And this is just one?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
So it's good. I don't know. They approached me a few months ago, and so I was like, yeah, why not?
All these weeks he's not on Golf Weekly earning a living.
Yeah.
Making contacts with people.
No, but I must say, is like, and perhaps,
do you pay tax on your Golf Weekly earnings? Do you?
My God, yeah, I pay. I earn zero, so you know I'm well below the liability. But it actually is, and I was thinking about this that it's probably a little weird that I'm onto the company going, listen, can you change my flight to Thursday morning without necessarily saying, oh, because I want to record the Golf Weekly podcast.
Well, they know now.
If they listen.
So some of your tweets into @GolfWeeklyOTB. Ken Knightley says, if Fionn meant the Flintstones reference when he said Abu Dhabi do, then he's an unheralded genius. Did you mean that last week?
Yes. It's an old joke, isn't it?
I don't remember you saying it.
Abu Dhabi do, yeah.
As part of a sentence, or what were you saying?
It was something about Saudi Arabia, and he said, but Abu Dhabi do.
But Abu Dhabi do, yeah.
Did you mean it?
Yeah, but it's an old joke.
But
it's
did
not
you,
mine.
Did
yes.
you actually? Did you, though?
Yeah. But it's a classic. It's what is the joke? Is like, oh, something doesn't do it in Saudi Arabia, but Abu Dhabi do.
Well, Ken Knightley thinks you're a genius.
Well, I'm not, because if it was, if I'd made up the joke. But
Barry Rafter wonders, any idea where we'll be able to watch #TheMatch?
I don't know. I'm assuming. Is it not on TV?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I'm going to do some last-minute research, though. I haven't seen any ads on Sky, and if they had it, they'd be promoting the hell out of it.
I'm sure there'll be an illegal stream for sure somewhere.
I know we're going to talk about it, and, you know, spoiler alert, I'm going to think it's a load of nonsense. But I'm still going to pay the money if it's available to me.
Yeah. Patrick Ryan, this was an interesting one. Surreal listening to the latest pod while actually preparing the golf course for the Saudi international event that you guys were chatting about. Patrick Ryan.
I would love, as soon as I saw that tweet...
Oh,
what
did
that?
You do?
Is that you?
Something terrible happened there.
Yeah, that was terrible. Was that me? I don't know. I don't think so.
Someone's headphones. Don't put your headphones near the mic.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Apologies.
Oh.
See, I have no experience of being in studio with all this newfangled gear. But as soon as I saw that tweet, my thought was I'd love to get him on the pod, talk to him about the experience. Because I'd say the course looks amazing. I would also say that other than whatever expats are based near the course or, you know, whatever, will be invited and some of them will show up just to see some top golfers play. But otherwise, it'll have no impact. I guarantee you there'll be no local Saudis at this. I wonder. I'd say not. But I'd be curious as to what Patrick thinks.
Okay, Patrick, tweet us some stuff. DM us if you want
to keep it on the down
for your life or anything.
Yeah.
Roisin said, trying to do my best Nathan at Le Golf National impression, but very small grandstand here in Dubai. A well-timed stopover from Melbourne to Cape Town. Fabulous course, cracking finishing hole 2, but so many bunkers. Hashtag friend of the pod. So that is Raw Sheen, who's over in Dubai. By the way, Nathan at Le Golf National Impression is selfie with his
mesh. Oh, sorry. Architect. That was a good picture, though. Yeah. Because you had the full kind of stadium behind you. It looked good. Yeah, yeah. Thanks, I was very jealous. My jealousy reached maximum levels when I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you were there and I wasn't, so.
Being at these things is not that good.
No, I know that, but sometimes you always convince yourself that you can make it better for yourself.
Do you know what? Let's not forget, there was a period where it was really good. There was a good two holes where we followed Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas and Patrick Reed. And
hang on a second. Incredible. Why only two holes?
Well, not as you mentioned, Fionn. Some asshole.
I was assaulted, that's why.
Yeah, by a photographer. It's Glenn Eagles. Glenn Eagles is one of the worst golf experiences I've ever had. I was so, ugh. Mm. I hated it. Now, I hated it in part because I couldn't get a bloody press pass to join you fools in the press
box.
Well, whatever.
How good do you think the press box is?
No, still, it doesn't matter. It's still better than being 5'8" and being the fourth person back on virtually every fairway.
Yeah.
Where you're like going, oh, I can't see a thing.
Le Golf National was a lot better than Glen Eagles from a spectator's point of view.
Yeah.
But still terrible. Let's not overstate things. Still woeful. I mean, you get to see at best four matches go through and then...
Well, as Phil Mickelson would say, there's a lot of FOMO when you're at a Ryder Cup because you're standing at the ninth and this incredible thing has happened at the
somewhere
seventh.
Else.
Yeah. And you hear this massive roar and you're like, God, that nothing has happened here for the last 2 hours.
Yeah. No, generally you just have a constant sense of FOMO. And even when you see something amazing, I saw Fleetwood hole a brilliant birdie put in the ninth on the Saturday. It was an amazing moment.
Now,
then it was coming, it was over and gone. And then
and
was
that was
like,
it. Well, in fairness, I positioned myself at a hole on sure the sing on the day of the singles.
So what is the point of life then? Let's get into that then.
But I did see...
So fleeting.
Was it when Spieth went 4 up on GMAC in the singles?
Mm.
And then GMAC clawed him back. I saw a bit of that match.
Wow.
Like one hole of that match. But that's what I mean. It's like, I have no... You're sitting there and I have no sense of what was happening beforehand and I have no sense of what happens afterwards.
No, I'm amazed really that so many of us go to these things. I mean, I will never go as a fan. Ever.
No.
To a Ryder Cup? No.
It's not a good spectator sport.
To any golf tournament.
Well, now that we've enjoyed the good life.
Sort of. I mean, you're a little
bit spoiled. The Irish Open, inside the ropes. There is nothing better.
Yeah. Wandering down the middle of the fairway.
You and me, do you remember?
They're trying to drive onto the fairway behind you.
With the Sky cameras who put in a complaint about you and me last year.
I mean, we didn't even have the decency to at least walk up on the rough.
On the rough. We walked straight down the middle.
Middle of the fairway. So certainly their lovely shot down the ninth was ruined.
With Joe and me. Yeah, that's right.
But I don't think you need to even have walked inside the ropes to understand how terrible it is outside the ropes. I think everybody's fully aware. It's just, you kid yourself. You think,
maybe you're not. Maybe because... If you haven't experienced inside the ropes, it's just what's normal to you, watching it from outside the ropes.
There's great spots outside the ropes.
There's not. You get to see someone come
back
and see someone come and go.
Yeah, it's true.
After a while, after I think 5 matches go through, it becomes so boring.
Yeah.
What's a birdie in isolation? You want to follow around. That's my
I agree.
Sense. Mm. There's no point to it.
Patrick, DM us. Tell us what it's like.
Unless you can lurk outside the toilet waiting for the golfer to appear.
Hideki Matsuyama.
What's the
hello?
Point?
Hello? Yes.
Hideki has never been
are
seen
you having
since.
A good time? Yes, I am. In perfect English.
Yeah.
Gary Murphy says, many congrats to at Gavin Moynihan on retaining his European Tour card. Brilliant effort to make it on the mark.
Gary, reminding us to keep it real.
Yeah. I mean, look, we need every European Tour player we can get at this stage.
Peter Lawrie was here. Peter would make the point that sustaining your card in this day and age through tour school ain't all that because you're so far down the pecking order in terms of exemptions.
Okay.
That you're not, it doesn't guarantee you entry to the Rolex Series events.
So even if you keep your card through tour school, you're not guaranteed.
No, so Gavin Moynihan had that last year as well. It doesn't get you into the Rolex Series events, which is one of the problems people have with it, that it sustains the upper echelon but makes it very difficult for anybody to break through because you're stuck playing the lesser tournaments around the world, having to do so much travelling. It makes it all the harder for those younger players.
Less money as well, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Rich just get richer.
It's wrong, Fionn. It's not right. Okay.
No.
They are your tweets. Now, before we get into Tiger Phil, which we will in due course, I just think before we get sidetracked completely, and we're going to talk to Eamon Lynch in the show today, a columnist with Golf Week. We should just give a brief mention to Danny Willett.
Oh, yeah.
His first win since the 2016 Masters. He's had a back injury. He's had a complete dip in form. At one stage, Danny Willett slipped to, guess where he was in the world?
247th.
Fionn?
I am 462nd.
462nd.
Oh, wow. I just plucked that number. I'm sorry. That was so mean. What an asshole.
Sound like thunder. To 462nd, Nathan, in the world. And he's fought his way back and he's won in Dubai. Obviously, Molinari is the Order of Merit winner.
Did you see a shot on the last hole on the 18th on Sunday? Whoa, water hazard. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a two-shot lead going in the final.
Still, like, you know.
No, he definitely didn't make it easy on himself. No. And he's just got a doctorate honour thingy in University of Sheffield, I saw there yesterday as well. So he's
a northern lad, isn't he?
Yeah. That's good to see him back.
I have to
back,
say, I'm
fairness.
A massive Danny Willett fan.
No, he's had a great time.
He's. I love his brother as well. Because.
Why? You know
what? Because he's a smart guy. He's funny.
Why are you not a Danny Willett fan?
I'm not a Danny Willett fan. I just find it's a strange thing.
I'm a massive Danny Willett fan.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone say that before. Like, I like Danny Willett.
Even Danny Willett's mum's not a massive Danny Willett fan.
Oh, I think. What's his brother's name? I thought that I read that post.
No, it was funny stuff.
It was funny.
How much of his decline came because of that?
I'd say
it was his back injury.
I'd say very little. I'd say his back injury had a lot to do with it.
You think?
Yes.
You don't think that?
No.
The Ryder Cup not being all that?
No.
It was an important win for him as well, because you don't want to be that guy who in 10 years' time people kind of go,
oh, you won the Masters and then you disappeared.
That was a fluke, wasn't it?
Ian Baker finished it.
What else did he ever do?
Jordan Spieth gave it to him.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Charles Howell III won for the first time in 11 years. Charles Howell III, once golf's next can't-miss prospect, I read. I don't really fully remember this, but Charles Howell III, once golf's next can't-miss prospect, who never fulfilled the lofty expectations that were once set upon him. So he won at Sea Island. First win in 11 years, third win on tour.
Well, we're going to be talking a lot about money in golf with Tiger and Phil. In some ways, Charles Howell was seen as the epitome of the excesses over the past 10 years.
The guy who didn't need to win?
By making over, 30 million quid over the last 10 years without even winning a tournament?
But it's when Charles Howell first came on the scene, Tiger was dominating. And there was talk of this young kid who was going to go on to be the rival to Tiger. Mm-hmm. There really was. His collegiate game was outstanding. Really, really big talent. And then just. But as you said.
Does he know what happened to himself?
No. He just kind of. He was thereabouts for a long time.
Because I read a quote from him saying, what I hate about golf is that you can work and work and work and get absolutely no results from that. And I know there's a lot of industries and a lot of areas where that also applies.
Well, $30 million isn't no result.
But golf, for certain, you can speak to any tour player out here, past or current, and I think they tell you the same thing, that you can go down a rabbit hole and work and work and work, and literally on the back end, nothing came out of it. That's the hardest part to swallow. So it suggests he hasn't just been coasting.
No, but he's made over $30 million. His problem has been closing out tournaments, is that he can't win.
Yeah.
And he spoke very well afterwards about the nerves and dealing with the nerves and choking a lot of the time, it getting into his head.
Nick Faldo told a story once that when he was a young player, he got onto a long-distance flight in London, presumably flying to the US, and didn't have the money. He looked at the left to the business class seats and said, that's what I want. I want to fly in those seats. And he said that that was the thing that propelled him to work harder, blah, 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 blah. And the second part of the story, obviously, is that players don't need to be worried about that anymore.
Charles Howell is turning left.
He's turned left since the day he turned pro.
And then finally, just to touch on this, I don't really know how to interpret it, but Vijay Singh and the PGA Tour have settled a legal dispute dating back to his suspension from 5 years ago.
That weird.
He was suspended in 2013. The Fijian admitted in Sports Illustrated magazine he had taken deer antler spray, which contained a substance, IGF-1, that is banned under the PGA Tour anti-doping policy. So his ban was later rescinded, but he filed a lawsuit against the tour claiming his reputation had been damaged after being wrongfully suspended. And the matter had been expected to go to trial, but they have made a settlement. So presumably the PGA Tour have given Vijay Singh a whack of money. The PGA Tour and Vijay Singh are pleased to announce that we have resolved our prior dispute. Vijay Singh. Wow.
He needed the money.
Yeah.
Did you see Bernard Langer won his fifth, whatever, the best player in the seniors? Yeah. Fifth one of six. Yep.
He's outrageous, really.
He really is.
He is outrageous.
All the other senior players are like, I hate that Bernard Langer.
He's the reason a lot of them don't go on tour. Yeah. It's like, they're like, well, I mean, It's not as much crack anymore because Bernhard's taking it so seriously.
I know.
Right, we've got to talk about it. So, 15 miles from the Las Vegas Strip, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson go head-to-head. Tomorrow, it's been billed as a high-stakes duel in the desert. $9 million at stake. Not their own money, we should say. And it's on TV, but only pay-per-view. So you can buy this for $19.99 or, if you want it on 4K television, $30. I don't have 4K.
I don't think I do either.
So Woods obviously won the Tour Championship this year, aged 42. Mickelson won the WGC in Mexico, 48 years of age. Papering over the cracks somewhat, their first win since 2013 for both players. So $9 million at stake, and then a number of side bets have gone on, notably $200,000 on the first hole, which Phil goaded Tiger into making in one of their press conferences. They're playing at Shadow Creek Golf Course.
I've played that course.
Which I'm told is a man-made marvel.
Of course it's man-made. It's carved out of the Nevada desert.
Is there even a flicker of rough across the entire area?
Yeah, there is. And
is there tomorrow? I'd say it's been mowed.
Whatever. But it's a lovely spot. Like, it's visually really stunning. But it's in the middle of the desert and you've got like canyon walls and really it's worryingly green. Right. That's what it is.
They'll be mic'd up during the match. There'll be no commercial breaks. Their caddies, Joe LaCava and Tim Mickelson, younger brother of Phil, will also be mic'd. Rory McIlroy claimed during the week that the event missed the mark a little bit. This is Woods and Mickelson in what will be match play of the highest standard, despite the fact that they combined to go 0-6 at the recent Ryder Cup.
So much about this that's troubling.
Undermining it slightly. 0-6. So interestingly, so the whole, you know, $10 million for the FedEx, so they had to go for $9 million. FedEx is actually going to $15 million in 2019. Mm. I mean, they're moving with the times.
Which at least allows them to move up to $14 million the next time to do this.
Thus far, the charitable details of the match are unclear, is the latest reportage of that. Unclear.
How much can we get away with before we're guilted into giving some of this away?
And obviously, there's not going to be a huge crowd there. It will be chosen guests.
Oh, God.
Friends, family. And I don't know, there was talk maybe of bringing some children, but I'm sure that's wrong.
Guess they get hit by one of Phil's wayward tee shots.
We might start with your tweet, which I must say, the sentiment of your tweet was you couldn't believe this wasn't photoshopped. And I had a look at the photo, which you might describe, and I mean, it's quite something.
Yeah, so the photograph is, well, quite simply, is it $9 million in cash? It may well be $9 million in cash, which I have never seen before. Two separate photographs, one of Tiger Woods, arms stretched out, trying to take it all in, and another one of Phil Mickelson putting on some sort of weird dad face, which is a sort of constant throughout this week of Phil acting awkwardly.
I would liken it to Robbie Williams at his peak would do a kind of face.
But he's doing a whole, it's kind of like he's doing a
macho kind of face.
Like he's Boys in the Hood style, you know, he's got like the, you know, he's pointing out with the fingers. He's like, yeah, it's all about the money, money, money. And it's where do you start? I can't decide who looks like the bigger tosser. And I'm going to go with Mickelson by a mile.
I mean, it's fairly easy to decide.
It's like, oh, my God.
I think in Tiger's very limited defence, he at least looks massively embarrassed to be in cell mode.
He does.
He's in cell mode, and he's never in cell mode, and it really doesn't come naturally to him because he's never had to do that.
Do you think part of Phil's joy is that this is actually happening at the perfect time in Phil's career? Because it is sort of perpetuating a myth that they were at a level. Mm. That now Phil can go into these press conferences, and while they can have the sort of witty dad jokes and a bit of banter, actually Tiger can't destroy him. He has to go back too far to be able to actually rip Phil apart,
because
that it's not as relevant.
Undermines the match if Tiger tells the truth about Phil.
No, but it's still so long ago that Tiger was totally dominant against Phil.
Yeah.
I just think actually because Phil's personality is so big now and his fame is so strong that actually he can sit there at a level with Tiger Woods.
Are you surprised that the crassness of the thing hasn't actually hit them squarely between the eyes?
No.
I'm very surprised it hasn't.
Are you?
Because, they're doing themselves untold damage, I would think, for money that, okay, it's nice money.
Untold damage with who?
That's what I'm
general
with,
public. I think the general public is looking on this thing and thinking you're both a disgrace. Actually.
Last week.
Like, you're selling your soul for, I mean, what's Tiger worth? A couple of hundred?
Well, he's worth a billion.
Is he worth a billion now? Is he?
He's the first billion-dollar athlete.
Okay. So, I mean, he could lose $9 million every day for the next 2 weeks and might not notice.
No.
If it came out of his bank account. And yet he's been part of this fiasco. Now, look, in 2 years' time, we'll all have forgotten it, but it's a fiasco.
Two years' time.
Yeah. The only thing that makes me more nervous than Joe doing geography on air is when Joe does maths on air.
Were you good at in school? What was your...
Everything.
No, come on.
I was good at everything.
Rubbish at geography.
I did honours in maths.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you? Wow. Did you go to like a special schooler? By the way, in my first day in this new job, right, this is how bad at maths I am. We're talking about something that it cost them, say they wanted to print all these brochures and they said it cost $100,000 and they printed like 10,000 of them. And I said, what, £1,000 a brochure? And they were like, and she was looking at me and they're going,
oh no,
you're an idiot. I can't believe I've hired an idiot.
So why am I getting jip here for
you're not. I realise that I'm way worse. I realise when you said I did honours maths, I barely scraped past maths.
Okay, good. I did honours geography as well, which is more of an indictment of the education.
But you know about drumlins and
stalactites.
Moraines.
Oh, yeah.
Oxbow lakes. Do you want an explanation?
You know Oxbow lakes.
By the way, knowing geography is a redundant. It's just one of the things now that the world has made redundant. I have Google Maps, therefore my geography is excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. The last week, so I had I was on my ethical high horse about the European tour going to Saudi Arabia.
Were you really, yeah?
A little bit. I don't know if you noticed, but I was.
I think we noticed about 15 minutes into it, yeah.
Wow.
And you were still talking.
But it's true.
We left the studio for a while.
Yeah. And you came back. Oh, there he is.
Good point. Yeah. We'll move on, though.
Truth is that this is squarely in the neighbourhood of what golf is.
I accept everything you're going to say. Are you genuinely not a little bit surprised that I'm shocked that Tiger in particular has got himself involved in this nonsense.
But it's just...
I don't know. That photograph I thought was particularly crass.
I wonder...
But I think we're maybe not fully aware of the American sporting system and how money-driven it is and how little problem that actually American sports fans have with what they're doing. I think on this side of the world, because we cut people down pretty quickly when it comes to money and being extravagant and showy, that we would have an issue. I don't think Americans, generally, they're going, listen...
There is the truth.
Do you think so? I've seen a fair bit of criticism of it, to be fair.
Tiger has never flaunted how much he's earned.
No.
So he is a private person. So you get that sense that with Tiger, even though Tiger owns a big, huge boat and probably homes and, you know, lives the billionaire lifestyle, you don't ever see that except for maybe at Christmas when he's spearfishing in Florida with his kids or whatever. So in that sense, that Tiger would be associated. But I wonder if Tiger... his people have said, look, this is part of your reintegration into golf. It's like makes you kind of, you're having fun. You know, it's not about the money. The money's going to charity. And that's the way he squares it away with himself, because it is definitely not about the money. Although maybe it is.
It's $9 million.
But for Phil Mickelson.
But if he's a billion-dollar empire.
Yeah, no. But these guys, like.
I know, but you're actually cashing in a little bit of your limited credibility.
Yeah. I
don't think so?
Mickelson is David Sims from Tin Cup.
Do you not think just even the past week has made Woods think to himself? Because he was doing, what's that podcast?
No Laying Up.
Pardon me.
Yeah, he was doing No Laying Up, all this kind of jazz. Do you not think Woods has thought to himself at one point in the last week, this isn't worth $20 million, this hell?
There may well be a bit of that. Yeah. That the banter was funny the first day. But now it's starting to drag. There's only so many times I can bring up that Phil hasn't won the US Open.
The most interesting thing of the week that I've seen is an article by basketball legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in The Guardian and elsewhere. So he's just talking about Woods. African Americans have always had a mixed reaction to both golf and Woods. Despite the presence of municipal golf courses, which are meant to be more affordable, it still costs $40 for 18 holes versus $0 for shooting hoops in the park. And then he says, Woods hasn't exactly endeared himself to the entire African-American community. He's never been an outspoken civil rights beacon, famously describing himself as Kablan Asian, which is a mix of Caucasian, Black, American Indian and Asian. Some felt that this was a sidestepping of his responsibility towards his Black heritage. The racist truth in America is, it doesn't matter what the percentage of genetic ingredients are, if you have any Black heritage, you are treated as 100% Black. That used to be the national law, now it's just cultural legacy. Marginalised people need all the heroes they can get, so it irks someone Woods's international stature. Someone of Woods' international stature doesn't step up. His private life hasn't established him as much of a role model either. So it's a fairly...
it's also...
And interestingly, he does round it out and gets to the point, I think a lot of us have got to it, Woods. He says, however, many of us are rooting for him now more than ever. He says, more than a representative of race, he's now a symbol of the one thing we all grudgingly share, ageing.
Oh, yeah. I read that piece as well, and obviously, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar stands tall, no pun intended, but he stands tall in the sense that...
Is that an Abu Dhabi Doo moment?
He stands tall in the sense that this is a guy who's always represented himself and his background. He changed his name. He was Lew Alcindor and then becomes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the 70s and makes a very bold statement and has always been on the front line of the fight against racism, etc. I would be curious to see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar write a similar article about Michael Jordan, who has never, ever taken on that role, with the exception of recently made a lukewarm statement about police brutality. There is no doubt that Tiger Woods is following in well-trodden footsteps. O.J. Simpson, if you ignore for 1 minute, you know, all of his involvement in the murder trial and all the rest. O.J. Simpson was the superstar of 70s American football. He was the black running back that was the absolute superstar. He was a commercial gold mine. He made so much money in the 70s. And he always... refused to engage with black activism of any kind at a time when...
Yeah, the famous, I'm not black, I'm not white, I'm OJ.
I'm OJ. And Tiger Woods has done the same. But like 20 years after Tiger Woods has first come to prominence, I just think it's weird that like we're even commenting on this, you know? I don't even know, like...
Well, it's just because he wrote that article. It was kind of interesting. I mean, there was the moment... It's in the last year, isn't it, where, and it's not the ideal environment, but Woods' post-round interview and someone asked him about the wider context of Trump and nationalism and racism, and he said something along the lines of, don't want to misquote him, but he basically said, look, I'm pretty tired, I want to get something to eat.
Yeah, well, it was
so glib.
Well, there were signs at the President's Cup last year when Trump was there that Tiger was sort of hiding in the background and didn't want to find himself in a position alongside Trump.
Yeah.
But then actually photos emerged the next day.
But he's played golf with Trump a bunch of times.
Exactly. But also, does this not come back to everything that was in Tiger's book last year as to, was it that Tiger didn't want to take a stance or he was reacting to what his father was doing? And his father had put him out there as being this, he's going to be not only the greatest golfer in the world, he's going to be a civil rights icon.
Yeah.
And it never sat comfortably with Tiger. So he couldn't just be a little bit of an advocate.
Yeah.
He had to be all or nothing. And that just wasn't him.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory.
There's
a fair enough point.
I mean, obviously there's a golf podcast, but like there is a strong argument to be made that why should black athletes have greater responsibilities than other athletes. Like, they are who they are. You know? And if they choose to represent, fine. If they choose not to represent, then...
That's totally fair. Anyway, that's just worth checking out in The Guardian.
It's a good article.
If you want to read it, yeah.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he is one of the exceptional figures in American sports.
Are we going to watch this catastrophe?
I am. I have a couple of things. I have a couple of problems. I mean, besides all the crass nature of this money rubbish. Two things. One, Tiger Woods is infamously or famously a brilliant trash talker. His Tuesday morning games are vicious. This is a guy who is foul-mouthed and really gets under your skin. Like, and it's known with the players he plays with in Florida, like these money games that he has. Like, he'll do anything to undermine you. He can't do any of this. Because it's on TV.
So we're expecting a PG version.
And the PG version is that awkward version, always. It's that, hey, Phil, you so-and-so.
I think there'll be lots of...
You're going to find a fairway today, Phil?
Yeah, hey, Phil.
We're not at the Ryder Cup now, Phil.
There'll be lots of, oh, look at that water on the left, Phil. Don't hit it left.
And in fairness, there'll be
That's great banter.
Although, mind you, here's the thing, right?
This is going to be a sad indictment that golf is so boring in general to watch.
And this is the second point. Okay, you've watched the semi-finals of the WGC. How do you fill the 98% of the time between shots?
Well, how are they going to fill this, even with a bit of trash talking and the mic?
They're not. It's going to be...
There's no commercial breaks.
It's going to be pretty dull.
Is there somebody going to be on course semi-interviewing them?
Yes, there will
be.
But I mean, give that three holes.
Who would you have?
I think I wrote down who's doing it. Darren Clark's involved in the coverage.
Good. All right, there, Tyler.
Sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's others involved.
Phil's a great competitor.
I can't think. They're recognisable names are taking the cash for
this. This is only going to be good if it boils down to the 18th hole.
I mean, what if it's over after 11 holes?
No. And the side bet is 9 million quid on Phil being able to get up and down.
Yeah.
That's what I want this to come to.
There is, yeah. If you were an optimist.
If it caught fire and they started making big side bets as the thing went on, that would be good. Hey, Tiger, 1 million.
Tiger.
On this hole.
Whoever loses this hole doesn't play the Masters next year.
Yeah, that's good. See, even then we're falling into this crass trap by saying, oh, it'll get good if they make massive side bets. That's grim as
well. Do you know what I would like?
They're throwing around millions. It's embarrassing for all of us.
I would like, because I've always argued that.
You've always argued.
Always argued that as good as Phil Mickelson's short game is, I've always argued that Tiger Woods' short game is better than anyone's ever. I would love if they had like a little, like a competition. Drop the ball here. Go on.
They did that in a rubbish promo video on Twitter. You can watch it.
Oh, really? And?
Phil won.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I still think Tiger's got better short game.
But, they were chipping into like some bottles. It was so...
staged and shit.
Well, obviously it was staged, but I mean, it was so unexciting.
All right.
You know what I mean? Golf just struggles. It's a bit like when we're talking about the Vernon Kay, you know, you have to hit your shot
into the thing. That's so awful.
Yeah, but all of
it's actually, the music.
Yeah, but all of it actually, golf's not that dramatic a lot of the time.
It's actually not.
It's just a golf shot. It's just a chip shot.
I know that you and I are big fans of old Mr. Whitaker and Chel's Wonderful World of Golf, but when, like Lee Trevino, who was one of the famous trash talkers of his generation, like when you watch him play Jack, for the sake of argument, like Trevino's on TV trash talk is so bad. Mm. And like, you know that Nicholas isn't a great talker. So I always, the only part of it I enjoyed was Trevino wouldn't shut up and Nicholas would be like, but it's part of
the attraction of the Wonderful World of Golf that it's nostalgia.
Yes.
I don't know if I would have enjoyed it at the time. It's that I don't remember watching Lee Trevino or Jack Nicklaus.
You're almost watching it to educate yourself.
I've never seen these fellas play. That was the beauty of it. I've seen Tiger and Phil play plenty.
Yeah, I know. I think that is a huge difference. There's absolutely
like,
right.
I didn't know what Trevino's swing was like before YouTube.
The craziest swing ever.
Yeah, but I mean, Chel's Wonderful World of Golf was actually the chance to see how does he chip. I wouldn't have known. Whereas Tiger and Phil... the golf is so unimportant.
There's nothing new to be revealed.
Not really.
Right.
No,
that's
no,
a good point.
True.
The other issue is, and I don't know, we've mentioned it, but like the money, they're not playing for their own money.
Sure.
Like, come on.
Yeah. Any final points before we go to Eamon Lynch of Golf Week to get
I just talk? Would love if it got nasty.
Can I just, sorry, before we go.
Phil starts asking Tiger about the scandal.
That would be funny.
How nervous are you? When your wife picked up the phone that time?
Been with any cocktail waitresses lately? He is David Sims from Tin Cup, by the way. I don't care what anyone says. And he goes, have the FBI been around your house, Phil? Here's the thing, right? Tiger versus Phil by the numbers. We know the big ones. 80 career wins versus 43, 14 majors versus 5. Okay? So the last win, they both won in 2018. Here's an interesting one. Career earnings. Just in... On course earnings. Just have a hazard, I guess.
150 million Tiger, 90 million Phil.
Do you know what? They're not bad guesses. 115 million Tiger, 88 million Phil. Okay. And this is an interesting one.
I didn't read that.
He didn't. No, he guessed.
Put it, Matts.
Top 10 finishes overall. Now
top
remember,
10
Tiger's
finishes.
Been, or Tiger's had less of a career than Phil.
I would say Tiger has 210 and Phil has 100.
Okay. Do you want to have...
I have no idea.
Tiger Woods has 193 top 10 finishes.
By the way, Nathan Murphy, that's a hell of a guess.
It's a very good guess.
You were only 17 out.
17,
count
yeah.
them. 210 you went?
Yeah.
You were 17 out.
That is...
Yeah, it's good.
It's outrageous.
What did you say for Phil?
100.
Okay, so Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods 193, Phil Mickelson... 193.
What?
Wow. Yeah, they both have the same number of top 10 finishes.
What does that tell us? Phil couldn't close out?
That Phil's been around longer.
Well, there is that, but maybe Phil couldn't close out enough.
Top three finishes in majors.
Top three finishes in majors?
Yeah.
I'd say Tiger 22.
Phil?
Top three finishes?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'd say Tiger 28.
Phil?
5, 20.
Then,
I mean, he's at a fair few, yeah. I think it could be very close. I'll say, what did I say, Tiger? 22? I'll give Phil 21.
Okay. Top three finishes in majors. Tiger Woods, 25. Oh. Phil Mickelson, 23.
Yeah.
Much closer than you think. And then they're over. This is weird. The official world golf ranking, huh? 13 for Tiger, 27 for Phil.
At present, obviously.
But with all those stats, like the top 10 in majors, Tiger missed out on pretty much a decade.
He missed on a decade, and Phil turned pro 4 years or 5 years before Tiger. So Phil's been around a lot longer. There's no doubt that Tiger's career is impressive on in every metric more than Phil's. That's a given. But I just thought it was interesting. I thought the in terms of career earnings, it goes to your point about Charles Howell. This is that, yeah, he's won 43 times and he's got 5 majors. But, you know, he's not far off Tiger's overall career winnings.
No.
Like, it's just, I'm sure he's got gazillions in sponsorship money as well.
Yeah. Mm. All righty. We'll go to Eamon Lynch then to see what he makes of it next. We have Eamon Lynch with us, a Golf Week columnist, a long-time observer of golf in the United States. Eamon, you're very welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys.
How excited are you about Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson? Because we can't wait for it to be over.
Well, guys, I would watch a member guest from Royal Melbourne in the middle of the night if you put it on, but I'm not watching this. This is a waste of time. It's crass. There's just really no benefit to it from my point of view, a fan perspective. I'm sitting in a remote East Coast, purely far away from any pay-per-view fiasco that this thing is going to be.
It's hard to really overstate the crassness of it and how tone-deaf it's all been.
Particularly in the last couple of days when the marketing has shown photos of these guys gathered around a vast pile of money. And there is a certain tone-deafness. It's very much Las Vegas. And in a way, it's very much Phil Mickelson. It's the perfect marriage of the master marketer of golf and the town that is able to sell any kind of cheap entertainment and separate people from their money on the suspicion that they're going to see entertainment. And a lot of people may get their entertainment value out of it. I don't tend to be one of them, but there's certainly no lack of crassness, but that's true of everything in Vegas.
Yeah, I was going to ask, we say it's tone deaf, and maybe for those of us who look at golf in a slightly different light and are maybe more left-leaning, we look at it as being tone deaf. But for the PGA Tour's general market of white-collar, white men, are they buying this up? Are they lapping it up? Surely somebody's going to buy this and tune in?
Oh, I'm sure people will tune in. It's not actually entirely without merit as a math, because it's only this year that sports gambling became legal across the United States. And the one good thing about this match is it will show the vast scope that exists within this game for legalized gambling. Not necessarily just in these kind of head-to-head matches, which we may see more of, but the same kind of thing could be leveled into any broadcast, whether it's on Sky or Golf Channel or any other outlet, because we already know this deep reservoir of statistical information about every golfer. We know how Tiger historically plays every course and every hole. We know what his typical leave is on approach shots from every distance. We know what his typical make percentage is on putts from any distance. So if you can layer that on to a broadcast, I think that could be hugely engaging, not just for people who are interested in gambling on it, but just informing the viewer perspective of what they're watching. So there is some merit in terms of what could come from this match, but it's almost irrelevant to who's playing the match. And I have a feeling that the way Mickelson tends to try to do this amateurish trash talking, I think it would just become something of a grisly spectacle, but it's not entirely without error, I think.
Eamon, can I ask you, though, just in relation to the crassness of the event, does it not sadly kind of fit into the overall crassness of golf generally? And I say this as a huge golf fan. Like, when you consider that the race to whatever in the LPGA, is it the race to the CME Globe, whatever the tournament is called, that on the final day they deliver the $1 million in a Perspex box by helicopter. Like, you know, does it not kind of fit into that same general kind of obsession with the vulgarity of cold, hard cash?
Well, I think there is a growing element of that in golf, which you see with players here. In fact, is it any different from the crowds of having outstanding trophies in the Middle East to European tour players and having a an event scheduled in Saudi Arabia next year. Personally, I find that more crass and disgusting than handing someone $1 million in a glass box. But this, to me, is very much a more of a Vegas mentality, which is very unusual in golf, because golf tends to be a little more reserved. I mean, you look at the greatest tournament in golf, the Masters, they will not even tell you what the winner is paid during the tournament. You simply, it's considered crass to even discuss money.
What is the
so
winner
when you
paid?
Take it to the limit of Vegas,
what is the winner paid?
Yeah, it's like, really does seem out of left field.
But isn't that what the Masters wants? I mean, so that the more the rest of golf becomes nakedly money oriented, like let's not pretend that most sports, that it's not about the money. Of course it's about the money, but yeah. that this is exactly what the Masters wants, so that they can kind of play up their, oh, we're a traditional tournament, and so in the contrast becomes even starker.
Well, it's also what the PGA Tour wants, because the only reason they're playing for $9 million is that the PGA Tour forced them to reduce it from $10 million, which is of course the payout for the FedEx Cup winner on the PGA Tour every year, and they simply did not want two of their biggest names playing in events that handed over equal money to their season-long championship, which is why it was reduced to $9 million. So I think there's definitely a money coarsens everything in sport. We don't like to pretend there's some kind of noble game at stake and there's a noble motive, but it's not. And in this case, it's no different. At least they're playing for their own money in terms of the side bets. But it's really two guys who don't need $9 million in a match that most people, frankly, don't care about. To me, the money's almost secondary to the pointlessness of the exercise.
Just on the money side of it then, and the $9 million prize money and the side bets that are going to charity, is any money coming out of Woods and Mickelson's own pocket, or is this just all-in massive payday for both of them?
I think it's mostly a massive payday for both. I mean, there have been conflicting reports as to whether or not their own money is at stake in the little side bets, which I believe they're now up to a couple of $100,000 on whether or not Mickelson will birdie the first hole. I mean, I would bet $200,000 whether or not he could hit a fairway on the first hole. But there's definitely a, even if they are giving an element of it to charity, it's somehow cheapening the currency even of that. But at the end of the day, they're playing for $9 million. It was no less coarse when McGregor and Mayweather were fighting for many times that sum in Las Vegas a year ago. It's the very nature of the venue they have chosen. In a way, it's the nature of these kind of head-to-head matches. I mean, when you look back at that great old series of Shell's Wonderful World of Golf, which was great players playing against each other in match play on great golf courses, and this is almost like that for the modern age. They're just adding in the kind of the crass Kardashian vulgarity of the American entertainment complex now.
Eamon, do we have any idea how the pay-per-view numbers are doing at this stage?
None of that will generally come out until after it's been sold. I don't think you should underestimate the ability for Americans to buy cheap entertainment. It's only $19.95, I believe, or 99 cents.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one-fifth of what people were willing to pay last year to watch Floyd Mayweather play with his food for 10 rounds. So I think you could probably find a significant number of people who will pay $8 to watch this scenario.
Right, really. I mean, look, the Mayweather-McGregor thing was obviously a farce, but at least the build-up was in a grim way kind of compelling, and everybody watched all those press conferences, for want of a better word. So I'm not surprised that did quite well in the end. Whereas, frankly, watching these two try and sell this fight. Honestly, if John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell teamed up and threw out some of this stuff as a parody of golf, I think it would be just on the money. No pun intended. It's hard to believe just how terrible it's been. And actually, it's been interesting to watch Tiger Woods for the very first time in his life in sell mode and how uncomfortable he is with it.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like every year you watch those awkward photo opportunities at Middle Eastern European tour events where they're forced to dress up in ridiculous gear or ride a camel. And this is like that on steroids. It's just so awkward and ill-conceived. And I think it starts with a very fundamental problem here. These guys are not rivals. These guys were never rivals. Because rivalries, typically in every sport, as we all know, guys, rivalries are on a number of things. There's a tennis, there's a clash of styles, the way you had with Navratilova and Everett. Or there's a clash of temperament with Borg or McEnroe. But fundamentally, every rivalry needs two elements, which is it has to be competitive. There's a chance that both guys can win. And it has to be born out of clashes against each other in events that matter. None of that is true of Tiger and Phil.
Do you not think so? I think quite a lot of those together.
True. These guys were 1-2 once in a major championship, and it wasn't even close.
I think there was a rivalry there. There was certainly a hatred. I mean, we all often love quoting Tiger's mum asking Tiger, "Where's Fat Phil?" And they definitely didn't like each other. And you know, Phil came in the scene. There was a clash of styles. You know, Phil, the flair and the style and the engagement with the crowd versus Tiger, a completely different animal. I don't know. I will accept that they were rivals. I mean, we never got them walking down a fairway on a Sunday, you know, in the same group or anything. But I kind of always had Tiger and Phil as one of the great rivalries in a... It never quite delivered, but in a way of the last decade.
Oh, come on. Yeah. It never delivered at all. You might as well say that somebody who's taking shots at Tiger on Twitter is his rival, because... frankly, Phil was more competitive with the SEC investigators probing him for insider trading a couple of years ago than he ever was with Tiger Woods. Mm. I mean, the fact that they are number 1-2 in PGA Tour wins among active players does not mean they were a rivalry. They did not go against each other in tournaments that matter. Well, Trevino and Nicklaus did many times. Watson and Nicklaus did many times. Faldo and Norman did many times. Phil was never Tiger's rival. And the guys who were his rivals, very briefly, which was Ernie Els, David Duval, and Vijay Singh, all of them lacked the showmanship, which is why Phil Mickelson is in this match in Vegas and not those guys.
Yeah, no, I accept that they didn't go down the fairway many times together, but I think there was a rivalry and a dislike there. I mean, even just looking at them playing together, together in the Ryder Cup was kind of compelling in its own
years
way.
Ago,
sorry, Sega?
But Rory pointed out last week when he was asked about it, if they'd done it 15 years ago, he might have watched it.
Yeah.
But of course, it was even less of a rivalry then because Phil didn't have any majors. Mm. But at least there was the perception of an animus between them that would have fired people up. But even that is gone now. They're doing their little bro hugs and they're kind of, whether it's fake or real, who knows, they're kind of a friendly banter between them now. So there isn't even that kind of little edge to it. It is all the edge of a carrot.
But in fairness, and I take your point, but I have to say I'm still with Joe. There was a hearts and minds rivalry. Obviously Tiger stripped away and was by far the more superior player, the more dominant player. But for all of that time when Phil was courting journalists and the crowds, there was a sense that Phil's was the fans' favourite while Tiger Woods was just the best. And that in itself was a setting for a rivalry that, and I take your point, that is irrelevant today, but certainly, does that not give fuel to at least those with longer memories than just 3 years?
I don't believe it does, because hearts and minds rivalry is what losers say who couldn't win major championships when it mattered. I mean, rivalries are born in sports because of performance, not because of the occasional sniping match in the press with each other. And there's simply no evidence to back the idea that when it mattered, on the field of play, that these guys were rivals with each other. Tiger, at his worst, was the second best player who's ever played this game. Mm. And many people would argue he's the best who ever played it. Phil would struggle to crack any top 10 list of the best who've ever played this game. And he's had a fine career, marvelous career by anyone's standards. But he was not seriously a rival to Tiger Woods. And all the carnival barkers in Vegas cannot change that reality. It may well be an entertaining match because of the personalities and their fondness for trash-talking and jokes. That's all valid, but it's the idea of a rivalry, I just think, is absurd, guys.
Okay, we'll agree to disagree on that. You still haven't convinced me fully either. I totally hear what you're saying, but a rivalry can be about more than just who's won or who's the better player. You can have a real rivalry with someone that you're still markedly better than because it can fall into different categories. But I don't want to go too far down this argument because suddenly I'll be arguing for this event, which we must at all times remember is a complete catastrophe for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Is your sense, Eamon, that this may not be a one-off then, that this may actually be the start of a Shell's Wonderful World of Golf-style era of head-to-head? Like, next up, are we going to have Tiger against Rory sometime next year?
I definitely think if it's successful in terms of the revenue numbers and the public perception of it, I would expect to see more of it. I wouldn't rule out the idea that they might try to have this kind of roving global scenario where it's Phil Inc. and Tiger Inc. kind of running it or owning it the same way that you had the big three matches 50 years ago with Jack Arney and Gary Player would tour the world playing exhibitions against each other. I think it does show that there's a thirst for some kind of different format in this game. Something that isn't dreary 72 holes of journeyman players week after week. And I think that's a really valid desire that golf fans of all stripes have out there, to see something a little different, which is what I think Elis is. It's almost incidental getting to it, and incidental that it's Tiger and Phil. I think some kind of nuanced, different presentation of this game. And if it takes off and shows enough promise, I do actually expect them to try to turn it into something going forward, whether or not it involves other big-name players or some kind of a head-to-head league with each other. Who knows? But I don't think it's a one-off in their mind.
So finally, be honest, 10 minutes before tea time tomorrow, you're going to break, aren't you? That credit card's coming out.
10 minutes before tea time tomorrow, that's not really a good time to get a Wi-Fi signal down here on the coast in County Louth. So I'm going to absolutely rule myself out of it tomorrow. I may try to follow it on Twitter at some point, but that's as close as I'm getting to Las Vegas or pay-per-view tomorrow.
Okay, we'll see. We're all in that boat right now, but come tomorrow, I'm not so sure. I might crack. Eamon, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Eamon Lynch there, who's with Golf Week. So there we are. Not a rivalry, Phil and Tiger, it turns out.
So what will be the best match of current golfers? What about Tom Watson against Phil Mickelson? Just for the awkwardness of the...
Also not a rivalry by those...
What about Jordan Spieth against Patrick Reed?
It's the only one. It has to be. Spieth v. Reed. With the animus of the Ryder Cup. Ugh, yeah. A little bite in that one.
Yeah, be good. Mm. Who would you want Rory to play of anyone?
DJ, I guess. Just big hitters.
That'd be boring. No. Tiger.
No.
Tiger is the star power in all this.
No, but Tiger is the star power in all of it. Or
is he? Maybe this turns into Phil Mickelson on tour, where that Tuesday trash talking becomes a global event and Phil just spends 1 week every 6 months destroying one of the world's best players and just trying to take them down a peg or two.
Well, I'm with Eamon. It's like, you know, there'd be good money put on him finding a first fairway.
Yeah. Well, he's put $200,000 on winning, on birdieing the first hole. Well,
I mean, brave. I know I take Eamon's point, but Well, there is conflicting reports. I heard that the side bets aren't even their money.
Right.
There's 129 sponsors, different people involved.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing it's managed to generate this much corporate support, isn't it? I think we're possibly, as Amy says, underestimating the American habits of dishing out pay-per-view money, you know? $20 grand, it's a steal. It's a holiday season, just stick it on.
Afternoon's entertainment, sorted. Yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah, it just seems... Ugh.
Tawdry. Dirty, in the extreme.
Would it break? Nah, it won't break MMA pay-per-view, right? It won't break.
Couldn't.
Not a chance. It's not even close.
I wouldn't think so. Not for the big pay. Not for the big ones. The big ones are massive global events.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see how it's covered over here. So we can't watch it.
Can we not at all?
Oh, can we not?
I haven't seen anybody advertising it.
Not even online.
It's on Sky, unless you can find a stream. Yeah. But is there it could be entertaining from a...
Is there a legal stream?
Not that I've seen.
An illegal one. There is not.
But if you're online tomorrow and you're getting Twitter updates every 10 minutes with a nice bit of video and a bit of banter,
yeah,
maybe that's enough. Maybe that's the best bits.
I mean, it will be on YouTube
The golf
Sunday
is irrelevant.
Yeah,
the golf The actual is, what happens in the golf is irrelevant.
Yeah.
All you want to know is how low are they going to go?
Yeah. Actually, the best thing that could happen for it, as in the worst thing, would be if Phil wins comfortably. And Tiger still is obviously clearly the best player of all time. So it actually decides or confirms nothing and just holds it up for the hollow sham that it is. If Phil wins comfortably, no one, I mean, you can imagine the Golf Channel trying to have it. So what does this prove?
Oh, you absolutely.
Know, the grimness of it.
Eamon is right, though, I think, in what he says in terms of golf as a problem in having too many stroke play tournaments.
Yeah.
That's something that generates a bit more excitement for sponsors, first and foremost. As you say, if there's 129 sponsors, there's clearly some sort of buy-in. That, again, if you're turning to McIlroy, who's trying to cut back in his scheduling, you go, play two of these a year. We'll set you up against Phil. We'll set you up against Tiger. You're going to get £4 million for each of them. Happy days.
Yeah.
One day's work.
It'll become a thing for sure. Well, Tiger's getting about $2 million for corporate days anyway, isn't he? Or certainly for appearances in stroke play events. So, I mean, it's not that outlandish that it'd be possible. Fionn, good to have you here in studio.
Good to be here. It's really good to be here.
Yeah.
I won't deny that I've missed doing this live in studio. I really have, which is perhaps a reflection of my life.
Okay. On that sorry note, we'll say goodbye and we'll talk to you next week. Good luck. All my exes wear Rolexes, but I reside right.